You are listening to Infinite Lives.
I'm here to provide color commentary for this.
Color commentary?
Yeah, I'm the JBL.
You're
the Lawler.
You're Lawler, yeah. And I'm JR.
Nope, you're Michael Cole.
No, I don't want...
You have to be Cole. There's, JR's not announcing right now. Now, if you wanted to be JR, you'd have to do the whole podcast in his accent. And
oh my god!
Add
welcome to Mark and Al! Okay. Dan Paredes and John Hood. Oh my god.
Did you forget my name there for a second, JR?
Well, I'm trying to do the accent
gotcha.
At the same time. Oh god.
This is a
trap. Buy my barbecue sauce.
Buy his barbecue sauce.
Buy my barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the man is broken in half.
Yep.
He's gone. He's dead. Oh no, the Lawler goes, oh, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead?
Well, that's what he said when McFoley, like, fell off the... Hell in the Cell.
Yes.
He says, oh god, he's dead.
So is this where we talk about wrestling, Dan?
This is where we talk about wrestling.
Is this where the wrestling begins and ends?
This is a wrestling podcast.
It is?
Yes.
Shit, I didn't sign up for this.
It's a wrestling podcast on our video game website.
Why not? All the cool kids are doing it. So.
Yeah, well, Giant Bomb is doing it, so we just do whatever they do.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
We'll probably play through... Metal Gear Solid at some point.
Sure.
When's your Formula One podcast?
Hey, shut up!
You should go away. We got our movie podcast in the works.
Oh yeah, I would like to do that.
I could
cool.
do a movie podcast.
That would be cool.
Yes.
So this is called Marking Out.
This is Marking Out.
This is episode two.
Two. We've gotten past the... We're on the sophomore slump, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going downhill.
Very fast.
And I doubt we'll make it to episode three. But in the meantime, you already heard our guest stars. They showed up really quick. Jerry Lawler and...
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
The legend.
That's about it.
I miss Girl Monster.
Yep, so we're two for two with guest stars on our podcast.
Sure. It was uncanny that he took the time to come to my apartment and talk to us about wrestling.
But I wanted to bring us together
sure.
here today... talk about Survivor Series 2014.
Sure.
That happened last weekend.
Yeah, it was last Sunday.
Excuse me.
Mm.
Oh boy. I'm going to edit that out.
Sure you are.
So, Survivor Series, WWE. Alright, I'm
how
just
much
going
did I have
to
pay for this, Dan?
You didn't have to pay anything for it.
I didn't?
It was free.
Was it?
The network was free all of November.
But
it's technically still free right now.
But I was already a subscriber, Dan.
Well, then that sucks.
So I paid $9.99 for
it. I paid $9.99 and I didn't even watch it on my account.
No.
I don't even watch anything on my account.
You watch it on my account. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I guess we're all just giving tithe. Tithe? Tithe?
You're tithing.
I'm tithing to Mr. McMahon.
Sorry, no, Vince McMahon, because he's not in his business persona.
Anyway. Survivor Series was in some place.
It was a mediocre build-up to the show, I would say. Like, it was okay. There were some okay storylines. Like, they had the framework of stuff that was going on in that, leading up to it. But I still think that they... could have done a bit more with some of the storylines. Like, they kind of... A couple of them landed pretty... I don't know.
Flat.
Yeah.
I feel like we're seeing some of the best wrestling we've seen all year
yeah.
in the last few weeks. But their storylines are always, like...
Sometimes you know, lacking.
I feel like that's the default position of pro wrestling, that storylines are kind of, like... kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, and that's not to say that the performers themselves are bad, like when they're trying to give what little storyline they're doing.
Yeah, it just seems like storyline in wrestling is always one of those things that is a very rare beast when it shows up and is good.
Yeah.
and is interesting. So, yeah. Well, why don't we just go through all of the different matches? So
we had. We didn't watch the pre-show because.
Yeah, so we didn't get to see Fandango versus Justin Gabriel, which is fine.
Fandango.
Fandango.
No, he's not the movie ticket Rosa service. Mende.
Look, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck who this guy is.
Dan, it's Rosa Mendez. You gotta pronounce it right. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's somebody, apparently.
He defeated Justin Gabriel, and we didn't watch it, so we don't care.
He was in. Apparently, Justin Gabriel was dressed up like one of the Cobra Kai's at Halloween.
At least his pants. Apparently, he is now.
Johnny Lawrence?
Instead of a very fun Latin dancer, he is now a dark Latin dancer.
Oh, Fandango, yes. Yes.
And Justin Gabriel looks just mediocre. He looks like a cruiserweight from WCW in the mid-90s. That's what he looks like.
He's the new Coco Beware.
Yes. The second pre-Survivor Series match
which we didn't watch.
I thought we did watch this.
Which one?
Just Jack Swagger versus Cesaro?
No, we didn't watch that.
I thought we saw Jack Swagger versus Cesaro. Was that on Raw?
That might have been on
Raw. Oh, because they rethreaded it.
Because they rethread matches. So,
yeah. Well, he defeated Cesaro by submission.
Yeah.
Wow, this is great. Going off to a great. We didn't watch these things.
Well, this
it's pregame.
Think about it. Cesaro is now in the pre pay
per view. Well, he's been in pre pay per view for a while.
It's just
so
sad.
It's further.
He continues his descent into into obscurity.
They should call him Undertaker because he keeps getting buried.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, so starting the Survivor Series proper, we have the fatal four-way tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championship with The Miz and Mizdow, Goldust and Stardust, The Usos, and Los Matadores.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yes. So, from what I remember, it seemed like an okay match. It was actually a pretty fun match.
They were wrestling well, yeah.
Yeah.
But every time Los Matadores came in the ring, you could just feel like the crowd kind of die.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they actually
they can wrestle.
They wrestle really well. It's just that there's nothing really to them other than the Olay thing.
And they have a midget dressed as a bull who can, you know.
Yeah, and it's always uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's wrestling. You just kind of have to accept a lot of, like, you just accept a bunch of stuff that is going to happen that you normally would not be like, this is okay for me to laugh or watch or even cheer for, but that's fine.
Yeah, they just don't have anything beyond their wrestling ability, unfortunately.
I really feel like the Usos are starting to become the Los Matadores, too.
Yeah, like, they pretty much do their spots. Because
there's nothing to differentiate each person from the other. So there's no, like, I don't know who Jimmy or Jay is.
They're the ones with the face paint,
Dan. Yeah, well, obviously, they're the Usos.
They're also
wearing towels
and shorts that look kind of shiny.
Yeah, well, my point is that, like, I don't know which one is which. Just the same thing as the Los Matadores. I don't know who Diego is and who Fernando is.
Yeah. Oh, you know their names, too?
Well, that's what the Wikipedia article
says. Ah, there we go. Okay.
So, I don't know. I know who El Torito is,
obviously.
But the Usos are slowly becoming that, because there's no real point to them other than, a pretty okay opening. Mm-hmm. A pretty okay opening song and stuff like that, but there's nothing really to them outside of that. And a bunch of super kicks.
Super kicks.
I feel like they're getting chubby too.
They're Polynesian guys. They're not
They're definitely like getting more uncut.
Ah,
they're getting non-cut. So yeah, the two main stars of this are the Dust Brothers and Mizdow and The Miz. So that was a pretty cool ending to that.
Yes,
the Miz and Mizdow. Partnership is actually getting it's still going.
Oh yeah,
I fear that at some point it's going to get old, but the crowd still likes them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then you know, Mizdow is hilarious. So
yeah, every time I think that this is going to get played out or something, but it doesn't.
He does something funny.
Yeah, it's still pretty funny.
Yeah,
but
they added in the wrinkle at Survivor Series where they had the. You know, Miz was raising his arms in triumph, and they were going boo, and then Mizdow would raise his arms in triumph and yell, yes.
So that's the first time that actually happened, right?
I think so. Well, and then there's the We Want Ms. Dow. Maybe they were cheering
more.
Well,
no, but the particular...
I think that might have been the first time they had done that, yeah.
So I was kind of impressed because it kind of looked like they capitalized on that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And they just kept doing it. I don't know if that was actually, like, a thing that they were going to do, like...
Well, and then, you know, I mean, so after Miz, after they won the titles, you know, the next night was really good, too, with the continuation of that. So.
Yeah, okay, so,
that if we want.
They did defeat Goldust and Stardust, mm-hmm. and, I don't know, you know, I think it's probably good because, well, it's also rewarding Damian Mizdow.
Sandow. Or Mizdow, or whatever his
He's
real name
Damian
is.
He's Damian
Mizdow
now.
Is he Mizdow now? Okay.
Yeah, because that's what they introduced him as.
They've called him a method actor, yet he won't shave his beard.
I felt like the Dust Brothers had a kind of, you know, so-so reign.
You're
as,
bored with
as
them?
I'm not bored with them. It's more that they didn't really have anything to do. I mean, the tag team division isn't really...
Lighting everything
stuff
on fire. Yeah,
okay. The reason why we have the Matadores. And it's, you know, we've seen Goldust and Stardust and the Usos... and Los Matadores in a match every single, like, Raw and SmackDown. So
no, the Mizdow stuff's a nice little wrinkle in it, so
well,
I think
yeah,
they can do something with it, hopefully.
Yeah, so, you know, we see them all the time fighting each other, so when we get to the pay-per-view, it's not anything special.
No.
There's no, like, culmination in some kind of feud or
well,
something
Well, it was
like
the Shield and the Wyatts wrestling, like, four times in the same month, where you're just like, this is no longer...
Yeah, like, the first time they started doing it, it was incredible, mm-hmm. like, in Elimination Chamber earlier this year.
Yep.
But, yeah, they just kept
like,
wrestling, and then it was just like, I don't really...
I don't need to see this anymore. There's
really
nothing
care.
New happening here.
Yeah. But,
I think the Mizdow, and... Because the thing I like about, I think that can happen with Mizdow and the Miz... And is because the Miz thinks he's some big Hollywood star, and Goldust is also one of those crazy, weird Hollywood. You know, he comes from Hollywood, so you could play that off each other. I think pretty well.
I guess it seems like they're more going into the like a storyline that Damian Mizdow and the Miz are going to split up at some point.
Yeah, but I don't know
like,
if they're,
you know
gonna
they're
do that
going
to immediately.
They're going to probably do that. Maybe if not this pay per view, probably the next pay per view. They're probably because they've been teasing it for a while, like you know that the Miz is eventually going to become jealous of.
Surprisingly enough, though, they have let it go longer than I thought they would.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, from just our little experience this year, it seems like they kind of cash in.
Because
like
at first he didn't even have a costume.
Really quick.
He was just there as Damian Mizdow, and then they finally got him his own coat, his own glasses.
Oh, the reason why this particular pairing has been, or just this like storyline development has been cool and entertaining, is because it felt very organic.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like a throwaway in the beginning, and it just kept building, and it got popular.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. They were like, okay, so this is the next thing that we're doing, and you guys are just going to like it or not like it. Which will come up later.
Yeah.
In this,
this
Survivor
rundown.
Series rundown. So, okay. So
that was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Good opening. So they actually had... so the next match was
the Divas,
4
right?
and 4
yeah.
Divas Traditional Survivor Series. It was Team Fox with Alicia Fox, Emma, Naomi,
Natalya.
With Tyson Kidd.
Oh yes, yes.
And
she had to have her husband.
They're fighting against Team Paige with Paige, Cameron, the Slayers, Lila, and Summer Rae. I didn't know they were called the Slayers.
Okay, that might have been their previous tag team name.
Yeah. So this match actually went on almost as long as the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match.
Yes.
Went on for a good almost 15 minutes, and I thought it was actually a pretty good match.
They were good. They wrestled well.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I read, people were not happy about, like, how long they spent on it. I'm like, dude, that you actually let the women wrestle.
You know,
like,
I've since we got back into wrestling, I started reading some stuff again, like I used to. I always used to read, like, a lot of things, and then I just started, like, not paying attention, because I don't feel that, and... Yeah, I guess it's a little tangent. I don't feel that a lot of wrestling fans like wrestling. Or
they just like to be mad at wrestling?
Yeah, I think they like to be mad at wrestling. Kind of the same way that, you know, just anything that becomes popular or, you know, whatever. And I understand some of the stuff because there's legitimate complaints along the card, but I mean, the actual wrestling itself in this match was actually pretty good.
Yeah, the women
they were doing really a lot of great moves. That uh-huh. Naomi looked really good.
Yes,
and she was I'd never seen half of that stuff that she was doing before. I mean, there's no storyline here, really.
No.
I mean,
Alicia Fox and Paige is no longer friends.
Yeah, they're no longer friends, and suddenly she becomes a face. But sure. Whatever, that doesn't make any sense.
I liked the match, but we've already talked about like what I thought about. The ending.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you know, Emma is a good wrestler. Alicia Fox can actually do some stuff too. Yeah. Uh-huh. Natalia is pretty solid.
Yeah, she's always good.
You know, like the weak ones on over here were all like Summer Rae, Cameron. I don't remember. Her doing much.
No. Naomi did more than Cameron did, I think. Yeah. So.
And then Paige is always solid and everything. Yeah. But of course, so it was a pretty good match for about like 90% of it, and then they had Paige. I don't know what they're doing with Paige. Paige be the last person standing against four.
Yeah, it was 4-on-1.
4-on-1, and so she playing the thing is that they're making her play a heel.
But they're not making her play a strong heel. That's the thing I don't like. Is they're making her basically play like the whiny, like runaway kind of, I'm not going to get involved heel. Which I don't think they should do with her. They should make her the tough, like I'm going to kick your ass kind of heel.
Yeah. Paige, I think, is a symptom of a bigger problem that I'm seeing throughout this year. Same thing that they've done with Bray Wyatt and also with Roman Reigns, where they're very interesting wrestlers and very interesting characters initially, and they have like all the skills, they have all the tools, all the gifts and everything. They're naturally charismatic, but they don't do anything with them. Like, there's nothing new about Paige than when she debuted, like the Raw after WrestleMania, I believe.
Yeah, because that's when she won the title.
She hasn't done anything. She still screams for like it seems very very random.
Well, and the fact
she keeps saying, you know, like what happened over here was when she was running away and then she got pulled back into the ring by Natalia.
She said, this is my house.
And this is my house. And it's just like,
see, if you're gonna do that, make her the one who's actually beating the shit out of the girls, and then say that. Don't I mean, I've been really disappointed with the matches that she's had because they haven't let her showcase enough.
I see a very like similar through line with her, Bray Wyatt, and Roman Reigns, where there's nothing really new to them, and it's getting very stale. They're very stale. Same thing with Roman Reigns, like. You know, he has the look, he has the physical quality and the stuff presence. Like that. He has the explosiveness. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing to him other than like I'm going to cock my hand and then like
I'm going
to
speak real softly and I'm basically going to say the same catchphrase over and over again.
Same thing with Bray Wyatt. It's like I'm crazy and kooky and that's about it. And same thing with Paige. She's like I'm intense. I'm yelling, and I don't have anything else.
Yeah.
And I feel like
I don't want them to bury her. That's the thing that makes me sad, is that she's really talented and I think she could be really good. And it just seems like that's what they're trying to do with this, is like relegate her to the B-list status of the divas, like along the lines of a Summer Rae or Layla, which would be really sad because I think she's much more talented than than what we'll get to later.
To be fair, she's on every show. So it's not like she's not, like, you know, she's not Summer Rae or even, I mean, Natalia's been showing up a lot, but, like, all of these other women wrestlers, like, they're barely
they're not on the main shows, for sure.
Yeah. So, to be fair, she's always got a match at least once a week, and she's been on every pay-per-view since. So, I feel like they're giving her a lot of screen time, but they're not doing anything with her, like, anything interesting. Or, I mean, you know, maybe she's just not... She doesn't have the personality stuff, the mic work, and the ring charisma and presence developed yet. She is still, what, 22?
Yeah, she's super young.
Or something like that. She's very, like, she's very young, and...
Some of the stuff she's done, like, though, where she was champion, and, like, her stuff with AJ, I think, was really good. It was better than anything else she was doing. Now I don't know what they're going to give her, like, what... Like, they had the whole Alicia Fox thing, and that was, like I said, it landed very... Very dull, very flat.
As with most things with Alicia Fox.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, look, she's crazy.
So, The next match is was just a regular singles match between Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose. I thought this was a pretty solid match. It didn't go for very long.
No.
It seemed like they reserved a lot of what time was there for, was the, good. For the main event. Yeah, what was there was solid. I don't feel the run-up to Survivor Series that they've done these two justice. I feel like there's a lot of stuff there, but like with every storyline that Bray Wyatt has been involved with this year, there's a lot of like things that could happen, but nothing ever does happen. Like
the promos the week before were really good. Them cutting between each other were very good. So I think if they continue that up into their, you know, well, we may as well talk about the end of the match, which was no end of a match.
Yeah, there was a solid disqualification. Dean Ambrose eventually hit Bray Wyatt with a chair.
Begs for it. He begs to be hit with a chair. And unlike John Cena, Dean Ambrose is an insane person, so of course he's going to belt you across the face with a chair.
So, what I was saying with Bray Wyatt is just, like, every storyline he's been involved with this year, like the major ones, is that I feel like, he alludes that there's going to be something, like, crazy that's going to happen, something very, very crazy, and nothing really technically crazy happens. Probably the coolest thing that he did was that little boy chanting and stuff, but that was kind of lame if you think about it.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
So, I mean,
the smoke monster in the ring during Dean Ambrose's match was fun.
Yeah, outside of, like,
what it did to that match.
Yeah, what it did to that match, but, I feel like they're, you know, they keep alluding to, like, oh, there's this, like, girl or something, like, you know, Sister Abigail or something like that. And they haven't done anything with it. So maybe they're giving it more time and going to, you know, tease it out and stuff like that.
Pretty much this match was basically a preview of their next match.
Yeah.
I'm
hoping that even in TLC, the next pay-per-view, that they're not going to have a definite conclusion, like somebody wins.
No, they could. Yeah, I think they could stretch this out a little
bit. Yeah, I feel like that they should keep this going and stretch it out a little bit more. Because
at least one more month, I think you could do.
Yeah, because I think that these two, they have a very good, they complement each other very well in the ring, because they're both very physical and very stiff
and
workers.
They're kind of unorthodox in what they do around the ring.
So I think it's very nice to watch them, because when they brawl, it's not like when Mark Henry and the Big Show, and I love Mark Henry, but it's not like when they brawl, it just looks like two big dudes that are play-acting brawling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, it looks authentic that they're really brawling.
Trying to hurt each other, yeah.
Like, they really look like they're hurting each other, and they're selling each other, and they're just going all out. So, I have high hopes for that to keep developing, so I hope that keeps going.
Yeah.
Going on. And, okay, so the next match was a weird one. It was actually scheduled on the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't pre-scheduled, so this looked like a real time filler.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't really fill up that much time. It was only about 2 minutes and 30-second match. Adam Rose and the Bunny defeats, I didn't know that they actually had a name, Slater Gator.
Yes.
Heath Slater and
Titus O'Neil.
They
have entry music, too, Dan. It's no bueno. Why did this happen?
The less said about this.
Just reveal the bunny already. Let us know who it is, and then we can.
Yeah, you know, reveal the bunny and just have Adam Rose actually just fight the bunny already.
Yeah, have Adam Rose be the outcast party guy, and then the bunny be the leader of the new.
Oh, and Adam Rose goes dark.
Yeah, see, that's what I think they're gonna do. But
I feel like unlike the Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose thing, which they're both very interesting, so you're okay with them stretching out the storyline. Adam Rose and the Bunny are not extremely interesting by themselves.
I want to get the grievance out now while we're talking about Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose.
Oh.
They changed his finisher. I don't like it.
Oh,
I don't
Dean Ambrose,
like it. Yes.
The Dirty Deeds?
Yeah, they changed Dirty Deeds. It's now like a double arm DDT, whereas before it was like a face plant.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I don't like when they do that, Dan. Why do they change the finisher?
I don't know. I mean, somebody backstage is probably telling them that this looks better on TV or something, or maybe try it out. Or maybe Dean Ambrose is like, yeah, I want to try this to look this different. I don't know. I'm probably with the same mindset as you.
The faceplant looked cooler.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they changed that or something. I have no idea. Because it's not like a safety thing. Because Faceplant is not really...
No.
It's not like he's pile driving dudes or something. So, I don't know. I have no idea.
The lesson about Adam Rose and the Bunny, the better.
Yeah, just reveal them. Adam Rose is... I mean, the thing is, the last few times I've seen them... it's Tyson Kidd. The last few times that I've seen Adam Rose wrestle, I've actually started to see, like, the actual technical stuff that he can do.
He's got a pretty spine
the very limited action flashes, that he gets. Yeah.
That so spine buster looks
like,
good.
Yeah, man. I just hope that he actually has something to do.
Yep.
Okay.
He had an interesting finisher, too. I like the party foul.
Alright, so we're going to talk about this next match longer than it actually went. So
are we?
Singles match for the WWE Women's Championship.
It's called the Divas title, Dan.
Women's Championship.
No, you gotta call it by its proper name. They don't have a Women's Championship.
So, Nikki Bella defeated AJ Lee after Brie Bella kissed AJ Lee and stunned her, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Nikki Bella, I don't know if she even did a move.
All the 12-year-old kids went through... No, she didn't do anything. All the 12-year-old boys went through puberty at that exact moment
in
the arena. And
I just think this is probably the travesty of the match, of the pay-per-view of the evening.
Yeah.
Your
most talented female worker who's been, like, single-handedly keeping your Divas division relevant. And
it doesn't seem like... So after we watched this, we were, you know, we saw all of the rumors that AJ Lee is leaving and things like that. But after Raw, it doesn't seem like she's leaving.
What was the thing I read recently said her contract might be up after Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Okay.
So that would make sense that, like, you have one last match between them and then she goes off into the sunset. But regardless, treating her like that is ridiculous, especially as good as she is.
The funny thing is that I don't mind. I think Nikki Bella's character is dumb. And I think her look is dumb because I think the two Bellas just look very dumb.
Well,
like, their faces are just...
One of them looks like a stripper and the other one just has no anything.
Personality
yeah.
at all. But they just look... They're not very charismatic. I mean, Alicia Fox, like, acts better than they do.
Yeah.
Like, Alicia Fox has a better character
than
the Bellas.
Oh, hey, Dan, did you know Brie Bella went heel, apparently, in that match?
Oh, yeah, because she was
distracted AJ.
Yeah, so I guess she's a heel.
Is she
now.
A heel? Is she? I don't know. Like, they haven't come out and say anything yet.
Well, it's probably one of those where, like, her relationship with her sister overrided.
Is it on the app, Dan? Do I have to download the app to find out what happened there?
I don't know.
Main event, maybe?
I don't know.
Saturday Night Slam Masters?
I don't care. I'll just say this. Despite what I dislike about Nikki Bella... I think she's actually pretty good in the ring. Remember that triple threat that she had?
She's
with
not
AJ?
Terrible, yes.
So she was actually pretty good in that one.
Those people.
She was solid.
You can see improvement. That's the thing. Because
yeah.
we watched, like, early matches,
yeah.
I remember.
She's okay. It's just that every storyline they've had with her and every kind of characterization and stuff like that is just really lame. And it's like, it's... I will give WWE props for... There's two women's matches on this card. And there's two separate women's storylines, right?
Yeah.
So that's improvement over the last, I don't know, 7 months we've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually one woman's storyline, and they give the minimum amount.
Dan, I have to ask you a question. What happened to Tamina Snuka?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she probably didn't have a very long-term contract, and they, you know, when they're trying to save money, they just... Yeah, she's got
a supercard in WWE, but
if
like,
she was in the middle, well, Alberto Del Rio is also in
yeah,
supercard,
well,
and he is not.
But
in the
he
company.
Won championships, so
yeah.
I don't know. Sorry,
without reading up on it, I'm guessing that her contract was up, and when they were in the money saving mode they are now, they're probably like, okay. Well,
but they made a theme song for Slater Gator.
Yeah. Yeah, they still have Heath Slater on the roster, but they don't have Tamina Snuka.
Who can wrestle. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was actually interesting, and she had, like, she was physical presence. Like,
oh, yeah.
Unlike any other diva outside of maybe Natalya had. So it's
well,
just...
and they're doing bad stuff. I mean, with Natalya, she can really wrestle. And, like, they turn her, like, it's hilarious when she's out there with Tyson Kidd when he's wrestling, and it's just like, oh, by the way.
It's funny, though, because... keep going, sorry.
Oh, no, it's just they extra dollar up and stuff like that, because she's part of the Total Divas show. So that's where it seems like they're focusing their efforts, is anyone who's on that show is going to get more activity because they want to push people to watch that show.
Yeah.
Have you watched Total Divas, Dan?
I have not watched Total Divas.
I think that should be your homework. Watch.
That should be your homework.
No, you watch season one of Total Divas. Why do I have to watch it? Because you're the host. You got to let me know what's going on in Total Divas.
I'll just say this about, continuing my thing, just to finish off about, like, I feel like they're doing justice to the women's division by actually giving a lot of screen time.
Yes.
To this, and, you know, giving it multiple matches on a pay-per-view, and giving a lot of the women a chance to excel, whether or not they're doing it just for Total Diva.
Well, I told you the lead up to the AJ match, Nikki was actually better than like the actual match itself turned out to be.
So I feel like they're doing stuff there, but it's just, you know, putting Nikki Bella front and center, and her only attribute is I have big boobs and I barely wear any kind of pants
and I shake my ass like
and it just feels especially when you have AJ and Paige who. You know, they're both, obviously they're sexy because they trade, you know, that's part of their appeal, but also part of their appeal is that they're interesting. Yeah. They have a personality and that. And they're more than just,
AJ on the mic at the end of Raw, or at Raw, after the Survivor Series was fucking great. That line at the end just, it was biting and,
She say?
She said, talent is not sexually transmitted.
Yeah. So that's, like, she can,
like, that's
she can
a,
actually...
That's a meta, like, statement, because if you're somebody who follows, you know, what
and anything, on, you know, and like I said, wrestling is best when it's kind of real.
When there's a portion of reality in there.
So I just feel that they did not do service to the women's division with that match.
Not
it's,
at all.
It's weird to have the Divas match change hands like that.
Yep. In 2 minutes.
But, you know.
Maybe they realized they were long because of the...
Well, there's also politics. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well, that's
that we
why
don't
that comment
know.
Was so good, because...
There's behind-the-scenes stuff. Because
we know who the Bellas are connected to.
Yeah.
So what happened next, Dan?
So we have the main event, the 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series Elimination Tag Team match. We had Team Cena with John Cena, Dolph Ziggler, Big Show, Eric Rowan, and Ryback versus Team Authority with Seth Rollins, Kane, Mark Henry, Rusev, and Luke Harper. And the stipulation was that if Team Cena lost, all of them would be fired except for John Cena.
Because they're not stupid.
Yeah. And then if Team Authority lost, then the Authority would be stripped from power, whatever that means. Basically meaning that Triple H and Stephanie McMahon would not have any kind of decision.
It got clarified at the beginning of the
pay-per-view. Yeah, it got clarified
because
a lot of
Vince
people
McMahon
were kind of like, I don't understand what this means.
Vince McMahon came out and had a 10-minute promo where he said exactly what it meant.
Yeah.
They would still have their desk jobs.
Yeah, and I think Triple H can still wrestle.
Probably, yeah.
It's just that they don't get to book the card.
No decisions
book
on any
book the card
wrestlers.
In the meta.
They
sense.
Will have no influence on any wrestlers.
Yeah, in the wrestling storyline.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I thought this is a cool match. There was a lot of twists and turns. It started off pretty funny. Big Show flooring Mark Henry with his Big Show knockout punch, whatever they call
it. You were all excited. You're like, all right, here we go. Mark Henry, Big Show.
Yeah, I love Mark Henry.
Then Mark Henry got knocked the fuck out.
Hey, Mark Henry sold the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. He went down like a fucking, like a huge
Mark Henry,
pile
when he goes down, like when he was wrestling against Rusev a couple months ago, when he goes down, it looks like I think something's wrong with Mark Henry. I think something happened.
Poor Mark Henry.
Yeah. Mark Henry's getting up there in age.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be close to his 40s, if not past.
Olympics were a long time ago.
Yeah, Atlanta Olympics was a
96.
Long time ago. That was
18 years
ago.
Uh-huh.
So, Mark Henry's getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. I still like that he shows up in relevant situations every so often.
You just want him to bring back the Nation, Dan. That's all you want. You know it.
So Team Cena started off with a big blow, and and it looked like
Team Authority
was in disarray. Then the match kind of settled down into just a back and forth kind of thing.
Seth Rollins getting beat up a lot.
Yeah, and then it got to the point where
I think Ryback got
Ryback got eliminated early. People were thinking he might have gone further, but he got eliminated pretty early on too.
Yeah, and then I believe Rowan got eliminated, and then while Dolph Ziggler was
knocked out after the passion of Dolph Ziggler,
John Cena was going to tag in Big Show, and Big Show floors him.
Yep.
with a punch, and then he betrays them. And Authority pins John Cena. Who gets eliminated, and the Big Show just leaves. Yep. So he gets counted out and eliminated. Mm-hmm. So it becomes Dolph Ziggler versus four members?
Yes, it was Rusev, Seth Rollins, Kane, and
Luke Harper.
So it
looked like one of those, you know, I will say this for the WWE. They're very good at manipulating emotions in a pay-per-view, because you know maybe it's all politics what happened with Nikki Bella and AJ Lee, but I know part of it is also of the thing of getting you
worked up
mm-hmm. that this is unfair.
Uh-huh.
And then now you're seeing what's happening in the main event and you're like, this is really unfair. Mm-hmm. I am incredulous.
Oh yeah.
Dolph Ziggler has no chance.
Yep.
They're very good at twisting that, like setting the mood.
Although the only thing I was absolutely sure of at that point was that Rusev would not get pinned or submitted at that
moment. Oh yeah.
Because what happened to him? He got counted out.
Yeah.
Because you cannot make Rusev look weak.
Yeah, like,
it's just so stupid to me now. Like that now they're just preserving that sort of thing for, I don't see it as having any purpose at this point. He's just a douchey Russian. I mean, like, we get that.
I think his stock has risen because the inclusion of him in the main event mm-hmm. here. Because I thought it was a smart move to put him
on
Team Authority, because it legitimizes a lot of the stuff that he's been doing.
Well, and he has the U.S. title.
So it becomes recognized that, mm-hmm. like, look, it's not just, mm-hmm. you know, undercard thing, like, everybody knows that he's been kind of like bulldozing through stuff. So well,
the thing that kind of angers me about that stuff though is like his last matches, like against his feud against Mark Henry and the Big Show, ended in similar fashion. Like he didn't make them submit; they basically passed out. So they never actually you call it a defeat, but they didn't give up in the way that you want. Like if you want a guy to seem unstoppable, you make those guys give up. But of course, since they're the older wrestlers and they're the veterans, I have the feeling that they're like, no, there's no way I'm going to tap out.
I don't see it that way. I see it that more of a, they're trying to preserve the heroicness of the face character while also still saying that Rusev is unstoppable. Like he's so unstoppable that he will overcome all of the face powers of ingenuity and like will and toughness, and he doesn't care. Like he'll knock you out.
See, I would have, like I said, I would have preferred it if you were gonna make him as the unstoppable force that no matter who he plows through, he makes them submit. We know Mark Henry and Big Show were faces at that time, but they weren't the guys who were being pushed. So I think they could have easily led to that and give up. And still, I mean, they're Mark Henry and the Big Show. Like, they're not gonna lose street cred at this point of their careers because they put over a guy who's on the rise. That's just that. I mean, that's how I felt about it, and that's how I think. You know, I like when a wrestler will do that, like a veteran will do that for a guy who's up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he got counted out.
So yeah, so Dolph Ziggler is up against everything. He's staggering. He's up. I think he eliminates Luke Harper first.
Yeah, I believe that was the first one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he eliminates Kane, and then so now it's Seth Rollins and him back and forth. And
no, Kane, I think, was Kane in it at the end?
No.
Okay.
Because Seth Rollins,
that's right. was the one who got eliminated.
So it ended up as Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins.
Going back and forth.
I thought it's pretty cool, despite what happens at the end, that these two guys are the ones that are there, because Seth Rollins is going to be the main villain for years to come.
He's
going to
CrossFit his way into our hearts forever.
I mean, he's establishing himself as a total heel that feels dangerous, but also weaselly at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, he's really weaselly, but he's also extremely dangerous because he's very gifted in the ring.
But I can never take him... I will never be able to take him 100% serious until that... Until it's gone, Dan. You know what I'm talking about. It needs to go.
His blonde hair.
One color.
I just feel that just adds to his doucheness. Like, it adds to his villainous. Like, he's more of a villain because he doesn't look completely cool. Like, there's, like, one part of him where you're just like, oh, god damn it. Like, you know, like, when Shawn Michaels, there's a whole period of where Shawn Michaels was like a heel. Mm-hmm. And you didn't really buy him as a heel because he was so popular and so cool and everything. Like, you still cheered for him.
Oh, of course.
But you don't cheer for Seth Rollins.
No.
I love Seth Rollins. I think he's one of the top three guys on the roster really right now.
He's very talented.
I think he's probably one of their best guys on the roster right now.
Just let him do his other finisher.
Like, pound for pound, yeah. I think pound for pound, he's one of the best guys on the roster right now that I've seen this whole year.
Him and Dean Ambrose, I think, are the future.
Yeah. And
Roman Reigns.
Yeah. For him to still embody, like, to not get so popular where he becomes... Like Shawn Michaels or Triple H, Triple H never really got the pop. Mm-mm. I guess
he always got
got the deserved the respect kind of thing, but he got he got the heat. So he's like
Triple DX H stuff. They everybody loves.
Yeah,
DX.
I guess so. Yeah, during the DX days, Triple H did get the pop. So he's never been
a good guy.
Yeah, well, what I mean with Seth Rollins is he's not that DX villain where it's like you root for the bad guy to win. He's not that guy. No. He's just a straight up, this is a despicable dude, and I really want to see him lose. Like, I mean, the big outcry for the last pay-per-view in the Hell in the Cell was that you wanted to see him get his butt kicked. Yeah. You wanted that catharsis.
I wanted it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think everybody wanted it.
They didn't give it to us, Dan.
They didn't give it to us. But that's what I love about Seth Rollins is that he can straddle the a really weaselly heel villain, but still feel legitimately dangerous. Like, you know, he cheats all the time, but it also feels like he can straight up win the match.
He can, yeah.
Which what made the match really cool because Dolph Ziggler, becoming also one of my favorites, just, you know, super explosive.
That man works his ass off.
Yeah. I'm really glad for what's happening with Dolph Ziggler. You know, probably a lot of it is circumstance with a lot of people getting hurt and everything like that. But he's really been working his ass off in every respect, and he's just taking it to a next level. Like, what was that SmackDown match with him, Cesaro, and Tyson Kidd?
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, the freaking match of the year.
That was really good. Yeah.
Like three commercial breaks and everything.
Yeah, it was super good.
Yeah, I think everything that Dolph Ziggler has been doing this year has just been fantastic.
So yeah, it went back and forth, and then, of course, the cronies got involved.
It got to the point where Dolph Ziggler looked like he was starting to win, and then Triple H just started like interfering everything. Uh-huh. The cronies got involved.
Yeah.
Triple H got involved. Yeah. And everything like that, and it was cool.
Called out the dirty ref.
Yeah, called out the dirty ref. Everything was pulling out all of the stops, and it looked like the Theme Authority was going to finally win, and you know, justice was not going to be served. And then
Dan's lost his goddamn mind.
Sting comes out. The thing that should have never that can never happen.
Yeah.
He who would have never in a million years thought that he would be in the WWF, WWE, showed up. Sting showed up, stared at Triple H a lot. Triple H is probably a little surprised that Sting looks so old.
55 years old, man.
Yeah, he is 55 years old. He looks his age. It's not like, you know.
He's probably healthier than Hulk Hogan was at 55, though, to be
sincere. I mean, the hairline was way back. Oh, yeah. Usually the makeup goes right up to the hairline, but there was a big gap there. Mm-hmm. His hair was not all the way black.
No.
It was kind of brownish. It was kind of weird. But yeah, so they had
the
little
goatee on the mask. Yeah. Little soul patch.
Yeah. On the makeup. They just make you whatever.
He came out in his tights, his scorpion tights.
Yep, in the full trench coat and everything. He was only missing the baseball. Did he have the baseball bat?
No, he didn't have the baseball bat.
Yeah, he was only missing the baseball bat.
And he came out.
And apparently they did new music. That, like, that's new intro music for him.
Yeah, I don't think that's not his normal Sting music. So, yeah, so he started off with Triple H.
Triple H said, what the fuck?
A long time. Yeah. Yeah, and he actually said, he mouthed what the fuck.
Yeah.
And the crowd is going wild. Absolutely wild. And you know what's funny? I guess I did look at some wrestling news sites and stuff. Everybody was like, oh, I guess, you know, worst kept secret that Sting would have, like, no. Everybody.
No, we were expecting Randy Orton to come out. That's
what I was expecting. Or just anything else. Yeah. I mean, everybody always, this is always my problem with, like, big reveals and stuff. Like, you always
Everybody's
hear,
like, oh, I saw it.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I'm sorry, you didn't. You did it. They signed Sting like months ago, yep. Like before the summer,
mm-hmm.
Like for him to show up on Survivor Series with no build up or no hints or anything.
Yep.
Like it was a surprise and yep. It was pretty cool. So they stared off for like a really long time, to almost too long. And then Sting did a DDT Scorpion Death Drop.
Call it by its right name, Dan.
Scorpion Death Drop. And then
Triple H sold it like a champ too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Triple H always takes everything like a champ. He's a
And then Sting slowly walked over
to Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins and then
switched to the pin because Seth Rollins was pinning Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and then switched the pin right the wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And Team Cena wins.
Yes.
And the Authority is out of business.
Yep.
And then, you know,
yeah.
Fade to black.
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
no, it did fade to black.
Stephanie's meltdown.
Yeah,
in the
Stephanie's
ring
meltdown,
which was fantastic.
And then Dolph Ziggler came out, and John Cena hugged him,
mm-hmm.
and everything like that. So, I thought that was fantastic.
It was
that
good.
Was almost 45-minute match.
It was super good.
So yeah, that was Survivor Series.
And then Raw the next night.
Yeah, Raw the next night
with Team Cena in power.
Team Cena in power. Daniel Bryan was
the guest GM.
Yeah, he was the guest GM.
Although I was very sad to find out that he was only just doing it the one night at the.
Yeah, I would
keep him in people's minds so that when he does finally come back, it's you're not starting off fresh again.
Yeah. Raw was really fantastic. That was
Let the good guys have a victory lap on occasion, and that's what this was.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's Raw was a victory lap. It was just. It was pretty awesome, and
Kane serving refreshments to people was pretty funny.
Yep, that was probably the best Kane segment that mm-hmm. I've seen in a long time.
Yep,
that was very entertaining.
Ryback squirting him with ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to think about Ryback. I think
he's a big dumb animal, folks.
Yeah, he's a big dumb animal, but since he's come back, I've liked everything that whenever he's shown up, it's always been entertaining. So, yeah, we'll figure out where it goes.
Apparently, he was super hot, like, a few years back, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell from the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
You know, once he killed Curtis Axel and buried him somewhere in the New Jersey Turnpike
and took
his power and money or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to Curtis Axel, but once he shed that, like, weight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, again.
He got injured, too. That happened earlier this year, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably why.
Yep.
Too. And also, you know, everybody else getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
There's spaces for people to come up and
yep.
do big things. So
yeah, we'll see how he does. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I thought the Raw was good. They had a lot of fun. And then we found out some weird thing that apparently had been going on with Raw previously.
Yeah, what is that called?
The anonymous Raw GM. That apparently was already revealed at one point. I was reading.
Oh.
Yeah, so they already revealed who that was at one point. It was an ongoing gimmick.
Yeah, so we'll see how that storyline turns out. The big storylines to really look out for is the Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose thing.
Yep.
I really want to know what happens with Adam Rose and the Bunny
sure.
on some level.
Yeah.
I want to see what happens with Dolph Ziggler, because, you know, for him to go to defeat four dudes on Authority.
Hey, Dan.
On Team Authority.
What happened to the championship belt?
Yeah, this is not important.
Where's the championship belt?
I don't think it's important anymore.
What's going to happen with the championship belt?
Who cares?
Oh.
It's not important anymore.
But Dan, I want a championship.
I am of the same thought process as the Masked Man on Grantland, as saying that it's not so important anymore, because it makes it so that Yeah, the championship belt, when they're doing this really quick turnaround all the time, it always feels like it has to be defended and there has to be some storyline wrapped around it rather than just making storylines just develop organically, yeah, kind of thing. And like they have to have a storyline with the champion, right? That's every pay-per-view that we've watched this year up until SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, since after SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was like a one-month turnaround. Like, we gotta put something against this champion, against the champion. You know, we gotta put the champion on something. And it's gotta be the big thing because they're gonna defend the championship. I feel like them removing it out of the picture, I don't know long-term if that's the best solution, but at least right now, it allows all these other people to really...
I think the good thing about this recent stuff is they've submitted the belt, this last pay-per-view, with the power struggle. So that was a good surrogate. But now that you have the good guys in power, what is the epitome of the singles?
I don't know. We have to see what happens there.
Yeah,
but
no, that's...
I feel like taking the championship belt out... Like, this wouldn't be... this wouldn't be the main event. Or if this was the main event, the championship belt would be the second, the match beforehand.
Yeah,
and it would not do justice to the championship belt. And you know, it would make out of this pay per view, the big star is Dolph Ziggler, mm-hmm, right? And you wouldn't get that same thing if there was a championship match on the card. Because John Cena would be involved, or one of these other, like, what other big
No, I'm not saying, I don't have fantasy booking, but I think it works this month, and it works because they had that power struggle thing. It'll be interesting to see what they do this next month as their main event. I mean, I think we know it most likely will be Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt for the main event.
Yeah.
But then what do you have as your, I'm going to call it the B storyline? Like, what is your B storyline at that point?
It's going to show up. It's the championship belt, or at least the mention of it, is going to show up the run up to Royal Rumble, because mm-hmm, that resets the thing, and the beginning of the road to WrestleMania, and whoever wins the Royal Rumble, it gets the championship
shot,
mm-hmm, right? And you still have the Money in the Bank briefcase and stuff like that. So, I think that I don't know whether or not they lucked into this or if it was planned or whatever. They've very wisely kept the championship belt off TV and kind of put it in a box in a lock box,
uh-huh,
that nobody will open.
Okay.
Until they actually do need it, and they were
break
glass
in case of
yeah, they were able, you know, with all the injuries that they're suffering, you know. Remember, we haven't seen Bad News Barrett.
He was on.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him in the ring. No. He hasn't done anything. We haven't seen Bad News Barrett. We haven't seen Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Right, and then Roman Reigns is out, and so those are top three, you know, three top guys that could be main eventers by, you know. Well, two of them are main eventers, and
Randy Orton took a month off.
Yeah, and Randy Orton's taking a month off. Dean Ambrose took a month off. So they needed a way to develop all of these guys instead of having Lesnar and Cena again, or Lesnar and somebody.
That's coming though.
Oh yeah, it's coming. It's coming. They needed time, mm-hmm, to develop all these other guys because everybody was getting hurt, and like, you know, you think about where Dolph Ziggler was 2 months ago. Like, he was fighting The Miz and Damian Sandow. And now he's the guy who beats Team Authority. Because John Cena barely did anything in that.
It was weird that they made him drop the belt right before he did that, too. It was interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, having the belt... Like, getting the... I always feel that getting the belt is the important part, but not having the belt. Especially in the modern, like, TV, like, quick turnaround kind of thing.
Sure.
The build-up is the important thing. Once you get it, then, like, you don't really need it anymore. Like, you want it, so you can lose it. So the thing with Dolph Ziggler is that I felt they were building him up, and they were like, look, he got the belt. Like,
A couple times.
Yeah, he got the belt a couple times. Yeah, I guess that was weird. I don't know why they do that.
That was the weird part of that.
I never understand why they do that, but whatever. It's wrestling. Yeah. I don't know. You know, carnies, juggling and stuff like that. Because
Stephanie's breakdown on Raw was spectacular. She is quite possibly, next to Paul Heyman, one of the top performers, I will say, in the company.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, they have a lot of great talent that's mm-hmm. still in the ring. It's just, you know, I really want this Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose thing to knock flourish. It out of the park. Yeah. I really want them to get the next two pay-per-views and just really knock this out of the park.
I want Dean Ambrose to be the winner of the Royal Rumble, and I want him to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah. You know who's going to... it's if I had to put money on it, it'd be Roman Reigns
winning probably, the Royal Rumble. But I still can have my yeah. dream.
Yeah, if I would put money, it'd be Roman Reigns. If I had my dream, maybe Dolph Ziggler or Dean See, Ambrose.
You have Dean Ambrose win the Royal Rumble, and then Seth Rollins win the championship before WrestleMania, and then you have them colliding for the championship at WrestleMania. Seth Ooh, Rollins like using his Money in the Bank title. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. See?
I like that.
Yeah. That's what I like.
All right. Well, you know what I like?
Finishing podcasts.
And finishing podcasts. So, aloha from Marking Out.
Okay.
This has been Dan Perez.
You broke kayfabe.
And John Hood.
Okay.
And this is Marking Out.